Feel like we're back again, baby.
We're back. Hello, welcome to the Mac Show. Yes, I am back. It's been a hell of a few months, hasn't it? Coronavirus, Skype not working properly, black bars appearing on Skype that I can't get rid of for no apparent reason. It's been a horrible couple of months, I have to say. I don't know how much Patrice has filled you in on, but one of the things I can definitely say is that you find out who your mates are when the shit hits the fan. And a massive thank you to Patrice for stepping in and hosting up the shows, and everyone else who supported him and kept everything running. Muller, who's kept the bookings going with people coming in. It's been amazing. It's been a horrible few months. My mother fell down at the start of lockdown and broke her hip, and she's been in the hospital for 3 months. I've been trying to look after my 90-year-old father. And it's been awful. And I've had a lot of nice messages from people, and I do appreciate it. I've had a few people who've written down and said, it's a shame that Ewan's gone AWOL, but anyway, it doesn't really matter. We won't miss him that much.
That's charming, isn't it?
They've suggested I'm the incompetent one, and I haven't written back to refute that. So, so here I am as technical ballast for the show once again to make sure that we don't have any problems. Joining me, what a bunch, all me mates. I've missed you guys so, so much. Start us off.
Like forever.
It has. I mean, well, I said to Patrice when we came on, I said, just be on standby because I haven't fired any of this crap up for 3 months. And it has had a few little blips and glitches and horrors. So, but we're back. Doc, how you doing, man?
Good, man. Keeping super, super busy. As a way to just try to stay out of, ignore this craziness that's been going on. So I'm lucky that my workshop is mostly me and another mate, but it's really huge, so we can stay on opposite sides of the building and yell things at each other. And other than that, just been working on my live stream game, keeping my spirits high, because it's very easy to wallow in the briar in this day and age.
Yeah, there's not a lot been happening for a lot of people, is there, so... we'll get there.
It's crazy.
We'll get there. Next to him, it's Callum. Hey, you haven't been wallowing in it, have you? You've been up to your neck in it.
Well, yeah, all of the Apple stores have been closed, so we've been open. We've been really busy, and we went back to work probably about 6 or 7 weeks ago now. So, we've been mega busy, and hasn't stopped really. We did have a few weeks off for lockdown, but I think like everyone else, and we've been back fixing everyone's stuff. So,
it's been a good busy time, and it's flown by. You got a 3GS in for repair?
We do, yeah. It got booked in by someone a couple of days ago. So, there doesn't appear to be too much wrong with it, bar a cracked screen, which has made the touch stop working. So, we've ordered a part today, and we're hoping to get that sort of sorted next week. And
so, you can source a part for it. That's kind of cool. You've managed to source the part.
Sorry, say that again.
You've managed to source the part.
Yeah, just about. Barely difficult to get hold of, but a few Googles later, and we've managed to get hold of one. So.
Yeah, brilliant stuff. Next thing, Jeff, how you doing, mate?
I'm doing well, and I'm really happy to see you because it's been so long.
It has, yeah. It's been a few months. I say we've been posting the shows up. The only problem we had was Patrice was shoving him in a document and forgetting to tell me that he put them in the document. So I posted like 8 weeks worth of shows in one day. Maybe more than that, actually. But they're all up there. You can all backlog and catch them up, including the keynote. Desperate need of a lockdown haircut, dude.
Yes. Yep. I can't argue with you on that one.
You've gone back to the fluffy 70s.
I can get all the way down to the tip of my nose.
It suits you, man.
Yeah, I like that hair.
What do the mountain lions think of it? Do they like it?
They think it's dreamy.
Who wouldn't?
I walk down the street, I stretch out the mountain lions going, I assume that means they really like it.
Just for everyone who's listening, that's Greeny not on an external mic, hence you can hear him turning his laptop.
Oh, well, I was moving it because I couldn't see myself. I can see myself now.
Oh, I just figured you wanted a better look at my hair.
Maybe that too. Yes, maybe that too.
That's what it's all about. To be honest, Jeff, that's what it's all about. I want to see your sexy hair.
No. I can't blame you.
Next to him.
Honestly.
the person I owe the most to, Patrice. Thank you so much, mate, for stepping in and doing everything. And we're not going to stop there because you're going to do the big show tonight and next week as well, when it's the bash on, and then we're going to split them up. So we'll rotate. Those of you that love Patrice, you're going to see her again. Don't worry, it won't be back to the permanent incompetent one.
And those who don't want to see me at all again, like, just listen to you.
Bad luck, because you're still going to be on the panel.
Well, that's true. That's so true. No, it was a lot of fun. Like, I was really thankful also for, like, everybody who joined. And like,
yeah, Jeff, you got some good support,
and Chuck,
didn't you?
Especially.
Lovely.
And Doc and so on. Like, everybody was really, really helpful.
Yeah, brilliant. Thank you ever so much, mate. Really appreciate that. Yeah. Unbelievable. Okay. Are you well?
It was. Yeah. I mean, like, considering everything that's still going on, I mean, there's still Corona and still everything, but yeah.
Are you, is Austria back in lockdown now, or?
Not really. Like, the only thing that has changed in recent weeks is that we had to reintroduce masks because there have been some flare-ups here and there. So we have to wear masks everywhere again. But other than that, it's more or less controlled right now. So,
cool.
Like, almost everything's open. Like, a couple of things are still closed. Like, certain services you still cannot get, but that's fine.
Well, the pubs are open here, which is a good sign. And I went on the Tuesday after they opened. And in fact, actually, I went with the wife for dinner because it was her anniversary. So it was nice. Good.
Happy days. What did you have?
I had the sea treasure, mate, which is mussels, crayfish, a whole pile of seafood. And it was gorgeous, in like a chowder kind of broth.
Oh, lovely.
Yeah,
that sounds gorgeous.
Keto friendly.
And a bunch of gold coins.
Yeah, the Zen Metro. I know the owner at Zen Metro, and he's a lovely bloke, and he fitted us in at the last minute, and gave us a fantastic meal, and it was great. And we had a bottle of wine there called the Guggenheim Malbec, and oh, man, we drank too much of that. Oh, dear. Oh, dear, oh, dear. Next, Patrice. Chuck, how you doing, buddy?
Good, Jonas. Good to have you back. We missed you.
Thanks, man. Missed you guys, too. Big casual day for you as well again.
Every day is casual day now, until the office reopens, which we don't know when that's going to be. So it seems kind of overkill to put a tie on just for myself.
Too right. So that's the only thing, is it's blown my fantasy that you actually put the tie on just for us. But yeah.
Sorry about that.
You know, if you want to put Friday in work casual request for the future, I'm happy to try to accommodate them.
Thanks, man. Really appreciate you supporting Patrice as well and everything. So that's good. How's the golf?
Pleasure.
How's the golf?
Not been out? Good. You know, not out as much as I'd like to be, but trying to get out a little bit. Seems like for some reason the front nine beats me up and then the back nine brings me back. So, just, you know, the nature of the game.
That's code, right?
I played with a friend the other day. Probably about a month ago. And They took me out and just said, come on, you're coming out with me because you need a break. I'm like, okay, cool. So we went out to a golf course, and it was a nice place, Moseley Oak. And started off, and I just could not hit anything. And I shot like 10 over on the front nine. Like, oh, my God, I used to be decent at this game. And then hit the turn, and I shot 3 under gross on the way back.
Whoa.
So, I just hit loads of greens, and it worked. So there we go. It's a game of two halves, mate.
You're going to be ready for the tour.
Oh, hell no. Seniors tour. You can't even do the seniors anymore. They're shooting 10 under and stuff like that for the tournament, 16 under for the tournament. I'm never going to do that. I've only ever shot one round of golf under par. Gross. And last but by no means, the man with the cough and the scrapey laptop, Greeny Boy. How you doing, brother?
If you've asked me yesterday... what's that Little Britain? I would have said no. But yesterday, I had a really good idea the night before yesterday. I had an old pizza. It was like, you know, one of the fresh ones you get delivered. But I'd left it over a week, and I thought, I'd be all right.
Mm.
And,
well, hang on, where had you left it, the fridge or the side?
No, I left it in the fridge, so I thought it'd be okay.
It's got a chance.
I vomited yesterday about 10 times, at least. Everything was coming out of every orifice that you could imagine, and it was and I felt so poorly. But today, it obviously was food poisoning because it's just gone. I feel great now, today.
And aren't we the lucky ones?
Yes, you are. You are. So that's a valuable health message. If you leave a pizza over 7 days, that's already been cooked twice.
Did you heat it again? Oh, you've heated it for a third time then, or not?
Yeah.
All right. Yeah. Okay.
And it was a chicken and kebab meat pizza, and
yeah,
it didn't do me any favors.
Right, chicken and kebab meat can do it on night one, let alone a week later.
I know.
The rule of thumb on chicken is 3 to 4 days, period. I don't care what you do to it except freeze it.
Yeah, 3 days in the fridge and then you've got to freeze it.
Really?
Yeah, yeah. That's, 3 days in the fridge and then it has to be frozen. Yeah.
Oh, I was waiting for its graduation. 21 at least.
You know, important life lesson.
But yeah, no, it's gone now. I did feel very, very poorly, and it's taken out of me a little bit.
Maybe it just reacted with you because it had made friends in that fridge. It felt it was like being ripped away from its pals, and actually, you know, you disturbed it, so it was like, I'm getting my revenge, Montezuma's revenge on Greeny.
Yeah, well, yes, this big idiot has taken me out of the fridge,
yep.
Cut me again, so yeah.
I'll show this bugger the Shropshire two-step.
But I'm all good now. I'm all good now. But I've never known anything quite like it. I think, you know, like, I mean, there's ways you can live your life, but being sick every sort of hour into the sink, and you felt it. Oh, it's coming again! It's coming again! And you run through to the bathroom, and then you do it. And that goes on for each sick moment, I suppose, will last for about 5 minutes. And then you think, oh, brilliant, it's over, it's done. But it wasn't. It just kept coming back and coming back. So touch wood. Where's some wood? My desk is wood.
I'm feeling like the I've missed you level has slightly dipped in the last few minutes. Everyone that's listening is going, oh, I've missed you, and now they're 5 minutes in, they're like, holy crap.
No, this is fantastic, keep it going.
My girlfriend said, what are you having tonight? And I was saying, I'm toying with another pizza, and I'm not going to say what she said about me. So I've changed my mind, and I'm going to have some veggie burgers because I'm trying to go veggie a little bit. Why? Or at least sort of balance my diet.
Why?
With a bit of veggie. I don't mind veggie. It's all right.
Yeah, right.
Is anybody veggie here or not?
No, well, no.
No, mate. No, mate.
Well, come round to my place.
I'm going to cook myself a steak tonight and contemplate it.
Oh, that sounds gorgeous. Yeah. I love steak. Who doesn't love steak?
Yeah, there's this stuff I like called meat. It's kind of holding me back.
Well, no, the thing that really does damage to going vegan or veggie is bacon.
Yeah.
It's just like someone
that
says,
say, the answer.
Oh, you know, I can't think of the animals. I'm going to go vegetarian. And then someone goes bacon and you go, oh, okay, no, I'm not.
Well, I suppose there is vegan and veggie bacon.
Yeah, right. And there's also a piece of shoe leather on the bottom of my shoe. So.
Tastes like shit, to be honest.
Someone once told me like that he or she was vegetarian, except for steak, because she loved steak. So, I don't know.
Okay.
So someone told me that he or she was vegetarian, but she loves steak.
No, he or she, both cases. Like, I remember, right. Remember whether it was...
You can't remember either, right, okay.
Like, left steak.
I got to say, vegetarians slip from my mind very easily as well. The Week in Apple, all the stuff that's gone on. I opened up Mac Rumors to try and catch up because I have done absolutely no tech. I've listened to a couple of the edges of the shows and stuff like that, and I listened to the keynote, but apart from that, I've really not really taken anything in, which is like normal for a lot of people before you write that insult in. But Skype iOS gets app background blurring feature. I'll be still my beating heart.
Yeah.
Wait, so I can blur my background now?
In iOS.
We probably discussed this at some point, and I just don't remember.
Really?
I don't know.
That must have been a great 30-second
discussion.
I'm sorry,
I don't even remember what I had for lunch yesterday.
Yeah. It's your haircut.
Cut your hair and you'll lose your strength and all, mate. Right, deals. Amazon has discounted the iPad Mini 5 by $50, so it's now at $499 for the 256 Wi-Fi. And before we started, I just thought, is it worth a discussion about what the form factor's like for the iPad Mini? Is it just an education kids form factor now, or is there still an adult slash professional use for it in the market at the moment? Because, I mean, do servers use it and stuff like that in restaurants, or...?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I mean, I definitely see it a lot in businesses, like, as you said, servers in restaurants. I've seen it with, like, any kind of, like, logistics company, like, even your, like, FedEx or UPS or whatever. I don't know whether those companies specifically, but, like, that type of company. I've seen them use it for, like, yeah, their shipping receipts and tracking stuff and whatever. I think there's actually a business case. I think it's probably even... Like, if you need a tablet and you have to be mobile, I think it's probably the best device for it even.
Mm.
Because it's big enough to be a tablet, but small enough that you can carry it around all day without getting, like, large arms.
$499 for 256 seems like a really decent price as well.
Mm-hmm.
Where we're at.
The thing is, though, I mean, what apps, let's take the restaurant, for example, I mean, what apps work well? With a restaurant, is there any point spending $500, or could you just spend sort of $100 on an Android device that would do the same job?
They do both. There's an app situation here in the U.S. called Toast, and think of it like Spotify for restaurants. And what it allows the help person to come to, they have this thing in their hand. It looks exactly like this. It's a small iPad or, you know, a small iPhone. They roll up to you, they take your order, they do everything, it goes back to the kitchen. When they come back, they actually hand you the device, some cases with a little, you know, shielding on it so you can sign for your credit card payment or do whatever. So there are a bunch of vertical integrations in the restaurant industry. Squirrel, which is another popular restaurant POS, also runs on the iPad. So, yeah, there's the two different things, and it's the restaurant. Like, the restaurant... that are trying to come off as, you know, more swanky, more elegant, they'll normally have the iPad situation, and the little small mom-and-pop ramen shops will have the little Android situation. So, you know, it's like getting the proper silver at some restaurant versus not. So it's, yeah, they could get a $100 Android, but that's not the feel you want when you're looking at a $300 vegan steak.
$300.
I bought an Android.
I just tried to get show names out quick because you're out of practice.
Oh, thanks, man.
I bought an Android tablet.
Greenies and Leftovers is the name of the show.
And I was delighted to see that with a little dongle, you could use it with a Mac, with a mouse and a keyboard. Which made it really, really useful. So I'm Mac through to the core, but I wouldn't dismiss Amazon, whatever they're called, you know, the tablets.
Fire tablets.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And it's really, really good.
With the coming up iOS, yes, correct, I said that right. The coming up iPad OS, you don't need a dongle, it's just built in.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Mouse and keyboard support were just like, you know, just
actually function. It's already built in. It's in the latest version. 13.
Yeah.
Actually, 13. 13.6.
I think that's what I said. I don't know what I said. It's early.
Yeah.
but it's,
yeah, I have to go ahead. I have to say, I've got as a gift a while back a Fire tablet, and it's in a drawer somewhere because I thought, okay, I'll play with this. Maybe I could just use it as a single use kind of device. Just find an app that just lives on there. And the experience after you've had the iPad, the experience is just, no, don't waste your money. Don't waste your money.
I have a Fire tablet too and have used it twice.
Yep. But surely, I mean, things like a Fire tablet or an Android tablet, they're good if you're streaming from Prime Video or something like that, but Because that's not a user experience-based experience, is it? It's, you're not looking about UI particularly there. It's just like play it full screen and done and dusted.
Mm-hmm. But if you connect a keyboard and a mouse to it, you can do word processing on it, check your email, everything else. And I was just thinking about, obviously, restaurants are going through such a tricky time, and if they're restarting up, maybe it's something worth looking at.
Mm.
Yeah, I guess that's I have an iPad Mini 4. No, is it?
Nah. No, I have an iPad Mini 4. The battery is totally shot, as Callum well knows, because I joked about sending it over to him to get it fixed, which it turns out actually would have been faster than trying to get it fixed here in the United States. But the point is, when the battery completely died on me, I looked at the price to replace the battery versus the price of buying a Kindle Fire, which are about the same. And so I thought, all right, well, maybe I should just get a Kindle Fire because I use the iPad Mini for or as an ebook reader. I do email. I do some basic web surfing. And maybe a Kindle Fire would suffice for that. Mm. And everyone I've talked to said, put the money into a new battery. Don't get the Kindle.
Right.
So that's what I'm going to do.
I'd second that. Yeah. Definitely.
Yeah, third.
And in the before time, when going into restaurants was a thing that we could actually do, the places that I went into that were using the Kindle tablets, an Android tablet for their ordering and payment processing, the staff would always be complaining. The devices were held together with tape. and it was a bad experience for everyone. The places that I've gone into that were using the iPads, they were never having any trouble.
And I think, as well, kind of moving on with that, you know, when you have an Apple product as opposed to, say, an Android product that might cost £100, yeah, you've only brought it for £100, but when it gets dropped, which it will, and when a cable gets snapped in the port, which it will, at least with an Apple product, you have a place to take it to, be it Apple or someone like ourselves, where you can go and get it fixed and you know you will get it fixed. If you're buying £100, you know, Android tablet you've never heard of, you're probably not going to get that sort of, service where you can send it off, get it repaired, and as soon as something breaks, it's another £100. So,
And I think then you're then creating a disposable market, aren't you? Which is not good for the eco, and not good for the resources, and not good for the landfills. And
yeah,
all that kind of stuff. Yeah.
And I mean, well, and one other thing too. Sorry, Patrice. Go ahead.
Yeah, to Doc's point, I mean, the other part is that, like, Android on a tablet is, like, based on everything I've read and heard from people who are on the Android side, definitely simply not good. Like, Android never figured out how to do tablets properly. And that also is reflected in the software.
They tried to just make big phones, didn't they?
Yeah. Maybe it would be easier.
Yeah.
I sort of disagree. I mean, I'm a huge Apple fan, obviously, but I'm just thinking about if you're a small restaurant and if you bought, say, I don't know, 10 iPads.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, but if you're a struggling restaurant, use a piece of paper.
Well, that's true. But a restaurant has 10 servers. That's not small anymore.
Yeah, end up. Well,
I think £100 is worth looking at personally.
But you look at a lot of the high end restaurants; they're still writing it on a piece of paper and shoving a ticket underneath the front of the chef's nose, and he's calling it. They're still the past.
Well, a really high end restaurant, the person remembers it and don't write it down. When I was working five star, we never wrote because they thought that was bad. You just had to remember it and then go back to the kitchen, which I thought was dumb because you get mistakes, but you just kept it in your head.
Yeah.
No one got what they ordered.
Like, The thing to remember, even like those five-star restaurants where people remember it, they enter it into a system. Like a lot of those.
We enter into a scroll actually, where we get in the corner.
Yeah, exactly. And those systems are usually way more expensive than an iPad.
I'm going to go to Chuck. Oh, yes. I'm going to go to Chuck because Chuck's been really patient. That's important to say and sensible.
Sorry, Chuck.
Well, no, the other thing, I mean, and this just doesn't apply to the iPad, but so much of the Apple ecosystem, because I've been playing with some other video streaming devices during lockdown, and I don't think that you appreciate the design aesthetics and from a functional standpoint of Apple TV or, for that matter, of the iPad until you pick up something else. And one of the reasons that my Fire tablet is in the drawer is, I mean, to go in and find certain things and preferences that you want to set, you know, the search didn't work. It's not put where you would expect it to be found. I mean, and I don't mean just because of a difference between iOS and Android. I mean, options that make no sense, that are stuck over here, that make no sense whatsoever. And real quickly, you just say, look, there's a better option. I've got it sitting over on the desk. I'm going to use it.
I think there is a certain element of that, though, Chuck, that I've noticed in me. And I look at where operating manuals start from and how they're oriented and how they expect you to set stuff up. And there's a bit of me going, like, who the hell has written this? This is not logical. But the problem is, it's not logical for a 53-year-old, but it is logical for an 18 to 21-year-old who wrote the manual and just started at a position that, not a higher knowledge level, but assumed certain things had taken place before they got to me. And more when I get tech to set up, I find it more of a chore because it just doesn't seem logical because they change stuff. And things like laying out of you know, that's not here anymore. It's over there. And you're like, why is it over there? That's ridiculous.
Is it an age thing though, Ewan? I mean, I my little lad, he's 9. He absolutely loves his Android device. I bought him the same one as mine. And he whizzes around it and he's really super happy. And I offered him, look, I can get you an iPad if you want one. He said, no, I don't want one. I'm really, really happy with it. So playing Minecraft or whatever, he finds it fantastic. So is it an age thing, I wonder?
No, so I think PayPal's a good example of that. PayPal really screws with its US, its UX constantly. And one of the things that's the obvious, you know, 99% of people that use PayPal on a regular basis are sending money or they're paying for it through from a portal like eBay or something like that. Mm-hmm. And when I go and try and send money over PayPal now, I have to hunt for where's the send money button. And you're just like, it's moved again. Where the bloody hell's it gone this time? Whereas before, it was on the desktop because that was what 90% of people wanted to do. They wanted to send money. So there was a big button went, do you want to send money? Because that's what everyone wants to do. And they've just lost that kind of logic, and it drives me mental.
Yep.
And it might be a nice thing. I don't know.
No, not in this case.
I don't think so, because we're all tech people here. And the fact that we're finding it difficult to deal with, and we're talking about, you know, something that's a little, not quite completely under the hood, but a little more under the hood. We're talking about preferences and settings and that kind of thing. You know, you and I would be with you if you said that the initial, you know, you fire up a Fire tablet versus an iPad and, you know, you don't like the way it looks. That could indeed be an age thing. When it comes to the under the hood stuff, I don't think so.
Okay. Thanks, man. I feel better now.
Yeah. Right. It was a while ago, but I remember Samsung gave me a phone camera. You guys might remember it because it was the same night that the lady dropped Ewan's phone when we were eating in San Francisco.
The drunk dwarf.
I
don't know if you remember that thing. I forgot what they even called it, but it was a Samsung camera that was also a phone built onto the back. And they gave it to me to take to Macworld to go do a bunch, you know, pictures and videos and come back and report. And to Chuck's point, the craziest thing was, you had to go through like 7 different machinations just to switch on and off Wi-Fi. And what do? At an event like Macworld, you use the Wi-Fi a lot. So you're always going back and forth. And then having to be on the same networks to transfer the pictures because, well, it's a phone camera. But no one wants to plug in the cable to transfer the pictures because most cameras don't have a phone in it. This one does. Let me copy it over. Now, of course, all cameras, you can kind of just drop it through the Wi-Fi or build little ad hoc networks and whatnot. But at that time, that was probably the best selling point of that thing, you know, other than it was a Samsung and some pretty decent pictures. And yeah, I just thought the UI and finding things, and just only recently I remember there was an update about you could pull down a thing from the side to get to Wi-Fi switching on Android. And I was, swear that was not even more than a year ago. And everybody was like, oh, this is great. And we were like, what? That hasn't always been there? And they're like, no, this is new. So I don't remember exactly what that was, but yeah, I think part of it is what you grew up on first, you know, and part of it is, like you said, if to Emma, everything's touchscreen, right? She got a brand new MacBook and she cannot stop touching the screen. And that drives me batty, because that's number one rule for me. Never put your fingers in my monitor unless you want to die. And she cannot stop touching it. And that, you know, brand new machine, because ever since she was a baby, she used to try to wipe off the ESPN ticker off the television because she thought it was swipeable. So I think that's what Ewan's point about could it be age comes from. For them, everything is touchscreen because she's always been iPad up until now.
Yeah, I think there is a general, you know, a UI should evolve, but people are changing UIs and they are wholesale changing it. The teething of getting used to the new UI is more painful now than it ever used to be, because at least there was an ergonomic flow to the evolution of the UI rather than just changing.
Do you think the next, when they move to ARM-based processors on the Mac, do you think it'll become touchscreen?
They've said no, and I kind of believe that, because they could have done, when they went to 64-bit, they could have done touchscreen then and it wouldn't work, so I think that's on the roadmap.
Greeny, I have a hypothesis on touchscreen on the Mac, yeah, which is that Apple is giving us a kind of a kludge for that with Sidecar, because you can have a Mac screen or desktop or whatever app showing up on an iPad screen, and then you can use an Apple Pencil as a touch device on that. So my guess is, for at least the near future, Apple's version of a touchscreen Mac is Sidecar.
It's going to be an operable function rather than a device that's generated with a touchscreen. Yes, got you. Yeah, that sounds logical.
No, it sounds clumsy to me.
You know what's funny?
And the other thing is Windows.
A lot of the touchscreen devices that are out, like your Lenovo's, your HP's, or whatever, one thing that they tend to suffer from, because my buddy next door, he collects old computers, and either if they're not fixable, they melt them. If they're fixable, they give them to the less fortunate folk. And I see a metric crap ton of DLAM off of the big Dell square, you know, the Dell iMac touchscreens and the HP touchscreens, which, you know, go to a lot of the businesses here, because their sales rep here is really good, because I don't know who else would buy it. Their sales rep is ice to igloos and to Eskimos kind of person. And most of them that come in, I see when they're taking them apart or trying to get the data out, you know, so they can, set it up to give it to someone else. Like, at least a good 10% of them end up in the landfill pile because they DLAM a lot, because, you know, your finger skin oil is messing with that screen. So
just hang on
another
a sec,
reason
guys.
Why Apple hasn't done it yet is they haven't found a good enough solution to keep that from happening.
Doc, stop. You know what I mean? Stop, man. There's a beach ball on Wirecast. And it stopped streaming. I have no idea why.
Yep. Just copy and paste. But what I can do is I can send you a disk image, and then I'll send you a link to a free app called Carbon Copy Cloner. And literally all you have to do is format the USB correctly and then clone the disk image over to the USB, and you should be able to boot into it and use it.
Brilliant. That would be absolutely wonderful. Do you enjoy talking to me? Because you might be talking to me a little bit more. Over the next week. I'm seeing her Thursday.
As long as, Greeny, as long as you don't eat any more pizza.
He's fine with it because he doesn't know you. Right, sorry. We got a bit of an interruption in communications there. We're back. Doc, you were saying?
Basically, I was saying use Dismaker X. No, wait, that was a different conversation.
Yeah, no.
I was just talking about the delamination experience that I see from some of the higher-end brands, actually. Well, I wouldn't call them higher-end. Some of the more well-known brands, your Dell, your HP, or your Novos, but they're all-in-ones. And even with some of the Chromebooks, after a couple of years, there's a delamination situation. And so I know everybody kind of wants a touchscreen Mac, but you kind of really don't. Because even people that use iPads sometimes talk about how hard it is to hit certain touch targets in certain apps. So, I think it's one of those things that everybody wants, like flying cars. But when you realize that the average bloke can't drive straight in 2D, do we really want to put them in the air?
Yeah, but the thing that gets me, so even when I just close my laptop now, the grease that's on the screens, that's on the keys that's come off my hand, imprints on the screen. And you're just like, I don't need this. And I'm not saying it's like a layer thick or something like that, but you can clearly see the crap falls out of the keys and goes onto the screen. You open the screen, you're like, holy crap, I'm sitting with a customer and I want to show them a video and the screen looks like I've pissed on it. It's just no good.
Hey, Bob, wait 1 second before you go. Bob Beach, to your credit, I swear to you, I've never seen it on the Surface, though, of all the machines that I see next door. And dude gets these things in like 200-300 at a time. I've never seen it on the Surface, so maybe Dell, Lenovo, and HP should stop buying whatever crap they're buying.
Doc, though, I want a flying car. I want to say, where are we going? We don't need roads. That would be great.
Yeah, you could
imagine that.
You could power it on used pizza.
And failed USB stores.
You know, you probably could.
Right, next story. I don't want to spend too long on this because I'm just going to slag it off. But I was sitting scrolling. This is not a joke. I was sitting scrolling through Mac Rumors looking for stories today, and I found Apple releases new 13.4.8 software for HomePod, and I'd actually forgotten that they'd made the HomePod. It's that much of a failed device that I didn't remember Apple made it. I think that says everything.
I don't know. I mean, maybe it's because I have three of them and I use them every day, but yeah. I mean, I'm kind of waiting for like bigger jumps in software. That's the only thing. Like there's so much to do and it doesn't feel like Apple is doing it.
Yeah, I'd completely forgotten that they'd made this. My buddy loves
his HomePods.
Yeah, no. Mm-hmm. I just struck it from my
I guess the people that bought them, that got it, they bought it, they love it. I think those of us who didn't put it in the house or already had, like me, heavily invested in Echoes, maybe you don't realize what you're missing because you don't have one. And that could have been part of Apple's point is it's a great device, but maybe it wasn't differentiating enough to make people just move away from what they already had. They were also very late to the party. So if you were Echoed out or Sonos out, you didn't buy them, right?
Yeah,
so it was only breed leaders of the new school. But and now that you have those guys,
Apple's
they
pushing
love them.
I don't see any adverts for them. Apple's not pushing them. They're not like when the iPod came out, everyone was like, everything was iPod and the kid dancing around with the white ear things. But they've not pushed these at all. I haven't seen anything where these were even remotely mentioned. They didn't mention them in the keynote. Yeah. It is a forgotten device almost.
Yeah.
I don't know what it is. What is it?
Oh, right. That says it all. Moving on.
No, you know what was funny? When you talked about that, I remember when they came out in 2018, they had them at WWDC as speakers all over the place. In 2019, they didn't have them.
Really?
So what happened? Like, I mean, they could have used them again, and they didn't.
They realized what a shit show it was as a device.
You know,
they're great. They sound good.
When they came out.
Yeah.
And I bought it because first I was really interested in it, but second because it was part of my job. I needed to review it, talk about it, all of that. Mm-hmm. And what I have come to realize over time is that my HomePod is a very expensive but really good sounding music streaming device and kitchen timer. My Echoes are my primary voice control devices.
Yeah, and that's because Apple has got too exclusive with the home stuff.
I don't think so. Like, I have a lot of HomeKit stuff, and like I've had to rebuy a lot of HomeKit stuff, and I'm fairly happy with HomeKit and with the Siri integration. Like, it usually works. I mean, my family has a lot of fun with Siri and HomeKit. Like, my youngest daughter likes to change the lights in the house all the time, stuff like that. So
yeah, no,
it works.
Like, yeah, I do use HomeKit a lot. You know,
I use
but
mine
I'm not
every day,
doing much voice control with HomeKit. Music.
But you know, the HomeKit is good. It's not great, and I sort of tend like Jeff in that area. I've used the Echoes a bit more for home control. But whenever I have a HomeKit option, I would always rather do that.
Well, HomeKit lets you do things that you just can't do, or at least not do without big kludges on an Echo. Like, I control the Wemo switches that run my window air conditioners based on the temperature that my Echo Bee is reading. And trying to do that, excuse me, with the A-Lady platform, just good luck with that. but HomeKit excels at these cross-device controls. It's just great for that. So HomeKit is my silent automation home control tool. And except for when I go to bed at night, the HomePod is much more efficient at controlling the light settings for bedtime. But other than that, it's mostly the Echo for controlling everything.
To be fair, as a bit of an audiophile, and I used to be a pro musician, the Echoes, I've got two Echo Studios and an Echo subwoofer, Echo Sub, I think they call it, and the sound is just amazing. So I've got old 70s speakers and old 70s hi-fi and stuff like that, but none of it compares at all with the three things I've got. Just incredible.
They are good.
Maybe it's because you're comparing them to old 70s stuff that is like...
No, I don't think so. You've got to remember.
Mate, you're outnumbered for people that were alive in the 70s here. I'd shut up if I were you.
Well, you were too, so we're okay.
Hello, welcome to the old fart show. Total War. Warhammer 2. Now, I'm not asking us to talk about this or review it, but I was just, because there's not very much Apple news. What I was just thinking was that there seems to be a glut of, and particularly in iArcade, or in Arcade rather, there seems to be a real dearth of decent games to play. There are, you know, the sports simulation is just nowhere near well catered for, and there's an awful lot. I think Apple has got a serious problem, particularly with Arcade, of people dropping off and just saying, you know what, this is crap, and people aren't developing for it either. So whether they're giving crap to the developers, I don't know.
I don't think that's it. I think the problem is that, I wrote that in the Slack room, with a subscription, you only have two choices, like from a manufacturer, like Apple's perspective. Either you have to produce a lot of content, so like when people finish a game, there's a new one they want to start constantly. Or you have to find something like an infinite game, like a role-playing game or whatever that you can play simply forever. And as long as you play it, you pay for it, for that subscription. There's no third way, because like if you have only a couple of games and you finish them and then there's nothing else, then you kind of think, yeah, okay, why am I paying for this? And I think that's their problem. They don't have those big games that are infinite, and they don't have enough content that people want to stick with it.
Would you agree, though, Patrice, that it's the controller that's letting Apple down? I mean, I bought an Xbox 360 controller so I could play this car racing game. Mm-hmm. It looks great, and it was a bit rubbish on keyboard. But in order to get the 360 controller to work, I thought, well, that's it. It's going to be Bluetooth, and it will just work. But it doesn't. Now I have to buy an extra dongle to make the thing work. It's frustrating.
What 360 controller did you buy? Because you just press the button and press the button and they connect. So did you buy a Xbox? No, wait. 360? Wait, let's back up. Hold up. Let's back up. Did you buy an Xbox One controller, which is Bluetooth, or did you buy an Xbox 360 controller, which is not?
I bought two controllers. So I bought this 360 one, and I also bought another controller. But I just can't get them to work.
360 controllers are not Bluetooth because it wasn't invented yet, I think, or something of that nature. We were on like Bluetooth 1. It wasn't a thing. But Xbox One controller is Bluetooth. And even then, you have to pay attention because there's Xbox One S, which is modern within the last 5 years. Those are Bluetooth. The ones, the original Xbox One controller, they're not Bluetooth. They're infrared. So you can't just roll up into Auntie's yard sale and grab a controller and have it work unless you pick up a DualShock back to like DualShock 3 because then those are capable. But if you have a DualShock 2, it's not going to work either because, again, that level of technology wasn't available at the time. So it's...
So Doc, what would you recommend?
Incredible.
What? Xbox wireless controller, $60. Paris, just you hit a button, and your Apple TV is like, oh hey, you've got this thing.
Gangster.
PS4 is very solid on macOS and Apple.
Yes, the DualShocks rock. But again, it's a DualShock 4 controller, right? You can't go all the way back to like original PS2 controller because the Bluetooth wasn't a thing yet. I mean, it was, but it wasn't in this implementation. Bluetooth LE.
So the wired controllers work pretty well as well. DualShock 4 is
$60 also. There you go.
So the website from Apple, I just pasted in, says the Xbox wireless controller with Bluetooth, model 1708, the PlayStation DualShock 4 wireless controller, and then any MFI Bluetooth controller like the SteelSeries Nimbus. The Hori Pad Ultimate and more.
I think the thing that because there's Mark D in the Slack room posted a question in the gamers thing saying which is the best one to have. There isn't a best one. It's the ones that are great for connectivity is, in my experience, is the DualShock PS4 controller. DualShock is rock solid with connectivity. You don't get any issues. Bit more flaky with the Xbox One controller, but I like the Xbox One controller because I got big hands, so it's a chunkier controller and it just feels nicer in my hands. Plus I'm used to the buttons a lot more because I've got Xboxes at home and at the office. So
I use the Xbox Elite controller on mine because I had it and it feels much better. Like you said, the big hands, the DualShock controllers, I always feel like I was going to break them.
Tiny. But they're much better. Matt Custer's got the SteelSeries, hasn't he? Adam has got the SteelSeries and he rated that when he had it.
DualShock for PS4,
DualShock for PS4.
But it has to be DualShock 4, so you got to pay attention. And I'm only telling you to pay attention because I know you. You're going to go into the store, and a DualShock 4 controller is $60, and you're going to see another one that says DualShock controller that the lad at the thing says, hey, this was only $20 because it's a DualShock 2 or DualShock 3. It has to be a DualShock 4, which means made in this century.
And greeny as glass.
I'm going to write this down on stickers. I love stickers. I wish stickers would.
For those of you on video, you need to rewind that moment and just look and play it back with greeny enlarged while Dot went through that. That's a quality glazed look off you there, greeny. Well done, mate.
Well,
I think it's the thing, though.
I do my best.
I have to pick one. Sorry.
Muller says, Greeny, I've got one you can buy off me for £30, but he's not saying it's definitely four, you see. I'd quiz him on that, mate.
I'm not picking on you, Greeny, because I know for a fact that kids send their moms to the store to go buy, you know, this thing from the game place, and the mom walks into the store, and when you see a DualShock controller at 60, and you see a DualShock controller at 29, they can't help it. Their brain's going to go, oh, 29, that's the one. They look exactly the same, right? For the most part, unless you know how to pick it apart. And so they get it home and it won't connect. And then their kid's mad. I know for a fact this happened because my sister-in-law does crap like that.
Muller's verifying it works. So you're okay.
So DualShock 4 wireless controller, yeah?
Hey.
I don't know why I bothered looking for stories because you lot have just done what the hell you like.
You haven't been here for a while because you've forgotten that's just what we do.
I was sitting looking, thinking, God, there's not much Apple news on what we're going to say. How's it going to go? Yeah, let's just talk about nothing else. Anything but Apple.
Mountain lions versus the beavers at Jeff's house, or whatever the heck. Raccoons, that's what it was.
And the moose versus the car, I always remember.
Mm-hmm. That mountain lions versus the beavers sounds like a shit little league game, doesn't it?
It kind of does.
Or something on P-Hub.
Muller says, mine is yes, Xbox One, Wi-Fi and Bluetooth. It's a show... A show about nothing, says Bob. Well, how do we differentiate from all the others that we've done then?
There's been a load of great content in here.
Well, maybe. I'll have to rewind and see. Oh, do you remember rewinding video before you took it back to the store? VHS.
Yeah, they would charge you a fee if you didn't rewind your video.
Yeah, no, I was talking to my daughter about that the other day, and she was like, what do you mean you had to rewind it? It just plays? And you're like, I mean, I couldn't even say. There was no, like, no, here we go, DVD. You know, and it was all great when we got DVDs. What's a DVD? And you're like, oh, man.
Do you remember the rewinding device boxes you could buy?
Rewind
videotapes.
Yep.
And we sold a metric crap ton of those at our store, and people would come in because the brand that we carry, which I want to call it Case Logic or whatever that became of, you know, same company that sold the spray for the records, they would say that it'd make your tape last longer because they knew how to slow down at the end so your tape wouldn't pop. But it was very popular.
There was a tape, wasn't there? Because when they invented dual layer... you could get 540p out of a standard VHS, but they sold you these special VHS cassettes that could do it. And then someone realized all you had to do was drill a hole in the back of a standard VHS cassette and it would do the dual layer recording. It was ridiculous.
Oh, that's awesome.
Well, yes. that goes back to punching the notch in floppy disks.
In the floppy, yes, sir.
Yeah.
You know, Chuck, I'm glad you said it so that I didn't have to.
I've just switched off.
My grandfather told me about it.
5 1/4 inch floppy disks. I've got one somewhere. I definitely got one somewhere. Got a program on
I remember at the last Macworld, the shady Mac software company was passing out orange floppies to everybody.
Wow.
The guys with the girls in the slightly small clothes. Mac Keeper.
Don't ever mention Mac Keeper on this show. That's
it was a hacking thing, wasn't it?
Yeah, don't. If anyone's ever listening to this and doesn't know what Mac Keeper is, then keep it that way.
Good on you.
I know what Mac Keeper is, Jesus.
Oh, mate, it's like herpes for your Mac. This podcast and all the others is brought to you by TSO host. They've stuck with us as well, not just Patrice doing his wonderful work hosting and everything. They've kept us going, and they've kept reinforcing the servers and keeping everything smooth, and you guys have been looking after them. Get yourself out on the Twitters, because we haven't said it for a long time, and we haven't got really that much of an engagement from them yet. But if you've got anything that you've done with TSO host, I know someone swapped over the other day and made a big thing out of it on Twitter. And they rocked on that, and they said it was great. Get yourself out and say thanks at TSO host for supporting at British Tech, because we disappear without them. We don't have the bandwidth to pick up the costs, and we don't have the storage capacity. We really do need TSO host. So you must look after our sponsors, because we'd be lost without them. And also, please, make sure you check out the IMN Max boys. If you've got anything that's got an Apple logo on it, these guys will help you. And we're going to do some stuff over the next few months. That's kind of cool, because I've got a load of old Apple tech, and most of it actually works really well. It still works just fine. But we've got things like the broken hinge on the PowerBook. We've got an old 3GS that I've got an Apple Hi-Fi that Muller donated, and that works with the speaker, and it's actually a gorgeous speaker. But it won't charge the phone while it does the playing back. So we're going to get Callum to have a look at those. And we're going to make some videos on him repairing the old tech as well as. So that's the point to mention, is that these guys will go back and they'll repair anything with an Apple logo on it. And it doesn't matter how old it is. We're going to talk about putting the new drive that I've got into my old Mac SE prototype. And we'll source the tools and we'll get Callum to do it. It'll be a good laugh and we'll have a few good videos to poke out. These guys are brilliant. If you've got anything that needs replacing, new iPhone screen, new iPad screen, anything like that, get in touch with them. And if you want a refurbished machine, which would be perfect for the kids, or just for you to do some light work on and that kind of thing, they've got some wonderful stuff. Callum, have you got a machine of the week for us?
I do. So this week we have a very nice MacBook Pro 15-inch. It's a Core i7. It's got a 500 gig SSD, 16 gig of RAM. A really nicely spec machine, and it's less than £1,500. So a very, very nicely spec machine, and a very good price.
Excellent, mate. So get in touch with that at imenmax on Twitter. Or get yourself to imenmax.com and you can have a chat with them. And again, get out on the socials, give them some brand recognition, just get out there and say thanks at imenmax for supporting at British Tech. I'd like to also just mention that Kyle has been plugging away doing the news show. A lot of you have been donating to that. We do appreciate it. Thank you very much. We could do with a little bit more. We're close to running out again if we're not careful. So if you'd like to support the network, donate to British Tech through the subscriptions button on the homepage. Thanks for that, Granny. And please give yourself a donation of $5, $10 and $20. Anything you can offer. Thank you ever so much to those that do already. $5 just, you know, doesn't get you a coffee. So $5 just a month to us makes a massive difference to the network, pays for that show to be done, and gives us enough money left over for a bit of the tech to keep stuff running. And the last plug, I do want to do this. A mate of mine has started up a masks business, lovely bloke called Steve Quantz, and he is at Two Faced Masks, and that's 11faced.co.uk. And I've shot all of the photography for that as well. There's some really great styles there. Bryony did a bit of modelling for some of the designs as well. There's loads of new designs going up. I've designed a few of the masks that go on there, and I've done a lot of the product shots for the pages. So please go to 11faced.co.uk and have a look at what he's got, and support him if you can. He's a great bloke. Right, time for the cool thing. Let me just show a picture of that, and I can put that on the thing. There we go. That's the group shot that we did. Great bunch.
Ewan, for the bash, talking about face masks, do we all have to wear face masks at the curry and as well as the bash, or how's it work?
Just at the bash. That's fine. Yeah. Thanks for bringing that up that I wasn't going to.
Oh, sorry.
I can bleep it, mate. Don't worry about it. But yeah, some of the photographs, there you go. And there's a whole pile of styles that you can use. Some rugby ones, some football ones as well, and that kind of stuff. So there's a Man U one, Doc.
I'm in.
I'll see if he can hook you up. Where's it gone? There's the AFBFC one. Joel through. I don't know if he's put them up yet, but he's definitely got them coming. There's one for Wolves. There we go. Wolverhampton Wanderers. No, it doesn't look like the Manchester United one's up, but I'll see if I can get one over to you, Doc.
Cool. Carol likes Birmingham FC.
She likes Birmingham. Okay, we'll get one over. I'm for a blank.
I said
balls.
Cal.
Me?
Oh, Callum. Yeah, well, you can get one. Yeah. I mean, you know Quancy, Jesus.
You better get some made.
He's got loads, mate. He's got loads of them. Get Mo to get you one. Oh, good. Right, time for the cool thing. Start us off, please. Dog.
Okay, I'll post my link into the chatty chat over there. All right, so I love myself a good Mickey keyboard. My DOS 1 from back in the day is getting a little bit long in the tooth. Some of the switches need to be desoldered, resoldered, and sticky. So I was in the hunt, and it turned out that one of the best recommended keyboards for the Mac people would be the K-Cron K4, which is a full-size keyboard, has the extra numbers on the side and all of that. But what I discovered is it wasn't hot swappable. And right when I was about to wah, 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 I swear, like 2 days later, the K8 Kickstarter campaign came out, and I did it, and we're past that already, but now they're available for pre-order. They should start shipping next month. And what makes this keyboard different from your most is it is hot swappable if you get the high swappable option. And what that means is if you are like a clicky type person, you can have clicky keys, but maybe you don't want your spacebar to click so much because sometimes on clicky spacebars just get loud, right? You can switch your spacebar back to a linear softy, or you can have, you know, if you're a gamer, you can take your WASD and make it more force. So it takes, you know, like 50 force instead of, say, like a 40 force. So if you really jam hard on those keys, you can like fluff them up, or you can soften them up so you can move quicker. And you don't have to buy a whole nother keyboard. You can mix and match the keys accordingly to the way you do what it is that you do. And the other thing that's cool about this is it is a 4,000 milliamp hour battery. So you get like 70 hours of function without having to cord in it. So you get cordless, wireless, hot swappable, aluminum, RGB backlit keyboard for around about a hundy. And it's pretty sick. And the dope part about the 60% is if you're a laptop-y type person, one of the advantages of 60% mechs versus a full-size mech, if you're a laptop person or even like a Jeff, you know, throw your iPad and your keyboard in the backpack, go to the Mountain Lion coffee shop where the Mountain Lions eat the beans and it comes out the back and they make the pour over. It fits nicely into a little, you know, compact bag, and then you can go do your thing and come back.
Cool. That looks like a negative of a Dell keyboard from 1987.
Oh, and it comes in other options too. You don't have to get that, the one that they show, as far as the colorways and stuff like that.
A Data
because
General.
One of the great advantages, Ewan, of these kind of keyboards is you can get keycaps. So if you pop over to the accessory sections, you can make the keycaps make it look like anything you want. Like there's so much keycaps out there for keyboards. Like, you can literally build one that looks exactly like Wasp rugby team.
Can you get ones that are for, you know, professional editing apps, but without charging you an absolute fortune for just what's a piece of printed plastic?
Oh, yeah, actually, because they do. You find those out there. Like keycaps for Final Cut, you mean?
Yeah, yeah. But they're always ridiculously expensive.
I have seen a keycap for Final Cut. But you want to make sure that it fits the Cherry MX switches, which is the most common. This actually doesn't use Cherry MX switches, which is why it's not so expensive. It uses Kale switches, but you can buy Cherry MX switches later and switch it yourself. But yeah, I do believe that there is. If there isn't, you just gave me a brilliant Kickstarter idea, and I'll split it with you, mate. Because, yeah, I think that's because I hate my little overlay because it makes the keyboard not feel good.
Right.
And keycaps are not expensive. Like, pull it up real quick. Like, for, like, $40-$50, you can get, you know, really high-quality PBT, which is one of the better things. But if you do ABS, they're really cheap. So, yeah, it would be nice to make a set of keycaps for, like, Final Cut, Logic, like, all of that stuff.
Cool.
And what I mean by double shot is it's not printed, right? Double shot means it's clear, and the letter, say, for cut is come up, right? And then they put the other plastic on top of it, and then so you're actually shining through the light, so there's, you can't rub it off. The ledge is permanent. It's actually part of the build.
Okay. Good pick, mate. Cal, what have you got for us?
There you go. Yeah, there you go. I've got an app this week called Haze. I found it on the App Store a while ago. I've only started using it the past sort of couple of weeks. And it's really good, I find, if you have like a smaller screen but with a lot going on. So, for example, I have all sorts of windows open for all sorts of applications. And Haze basically means if I'm in Safari, but it's not quite full screen, everything else in the background is sort of dimmed out, so it basically focuses in on the window which you've selected at any one time. So it's really, really handy for that. So you know, if you want to be focused on a specific window but not have it full screen, or you know, if you've got a smaller MacBook with a lot going on. So I think it's £5 in the App Store. It's a really neat little app, and again, just kind of helps focus you a bit, I find, you know, especially if you've got a lot going on your Mac. So.
And, yeah. And.
Okay, it's on setup.
It's on setup.
I didn't even know. There you go.
And we love setup. So if you've got setup, you get that free as part of it. And we've got a really, thanks for the link for this, Cal, by the way. I was hoping someone would pick a setup app. We've got a link up with setup. So we've been talking to them, or I've been talking to them the last couple of weeks. They're going to send people to the show. So we've got Maria coming from setup on the 31st. She's going to talk us through some of the stuff that they're doing. They're going to take part in the panels. Anna's going to come down and they're going to join in the conversations. But they're also going to tell us some exclusive stuff that's going on with setup as well. Our setup Teams is in beta at the moment as well. So if you want to have a play with that, they'll come and answer your questions. So send us a question through, anything you like. 31st, Maria will be here. And we'll get some information from her about what's happening and what's cool in setup. And if you haven't got setup and you're a Mac user, you're a numpty. Get it. It's the best money you'll ever spend. There's over 150, 160 apps now that you can get. Just amazing. There'll be a utility for everything, I promise you. Good pick, mate. Good pick. Jeffrey, sort us out, mate. What do you got?
I decided that I should go with something that's timely and useful. So my pick this week is Skyview for iPhone and iPad, and it is a star watching app. And the reason I'm picking this is because Comet Neowen is currently visible.
Yeah.
And what I like about Skyview, for $2, you get an app that has the whole database in the app. So that means that when you're out in the middle of nowhere, like I need to be able to see the comet, well, you may not have...
Yeah, we all know what that means.
Cellular. What?
Being out in the dark, looking for bears.
Yeah, when you're out looking for bears and comets at night.
That's a rumor, Greeny. There's no truth to that at all. Move on.
No, of course not. I'm only joking.
Yeah. So anyhow, no need for Wi-Fi or cellular connection to use the app. The whole database is in the app, and it's easy to use, and it's cheap, $2. There you go. So go find Comet Neowen.
It's interesting as well that I've got a couple of these apps, and only one of them actually shows the comet at the moment. The rest are all just ignoring it completely.
What is it? Night view, night sky.
Starwalk ignores the comet completely.
Starwalk is ignoring it. Wow.
Yeah, can't find it. Unless I should have updated.
I have Sky View and Sky Guide. I think Sky Guide has it too. But yeah, I use that app, Jeff, a lot of times mixed with photo pills when I'm planning my astro. Pretty dope. Yeah.
Nice one, mate. Good pick. Patrice, your pick.
Yeah, my pick is something that is currently in beta from Canon. It is the Canon EOS webcam utility. So if you have, like we talked about it, I think on one of the last shows with Doc, like using your DSLR or whatever you have, your mirrorless camera as a webcam to get like maybe a little bit nicer photo or not spend like an arm and a leg on a webcam currently. This is something Canon released. It works with some models, it doesn't work with all of them. There is a list, and I should mention that not all cameras are listed. So, for example, I have a 5D Mark II, and it totally works with the Mark IV software. So there are probably more if you want to Google your
so
camera.
So you've got the Mark II, but if you download the Mark IV software, it still works?
It works. It installs it on your Mac, so it's available for Mac and for Windows. It installs that software, and then it just shows up as a camera. You just connect the camera, put it in video mode, and then you can totally use it as a webcam. So far, I've tested it. I might actually use it for the shows, but I have to figure out how to mount it first.
So what's your connectivity? Is that doing HDMI?
You want to know how to mount it? Let me show you how to mount.
It's not doing HDMI. It's just USB.
Just USB,
so it goes over USB, yeah. So, as I said, I've tested, it's a beta, I've tested it so far, seems to work, quality seems to be okay so far, So
yeah, good. Doc, we can't see any of that because of your background, so.
Oh, what? Yeah. I can kill that because I was just playing around.
We just got anyway, a druggy chicken restaurant.
Basically, I bought a $13. Let me stop this stupid Skype trick. I bought a $13 microphone headset thingy, and I put a ball head on the top. So you need a 5/8 to quarter 20 adapter, which is $3, and it basically fits. You know, when you screw on the top of a microphone, the big round 5/8, and it turns into a quarter 20, and then you put a ball head with an Arca Swiss plate. You throw your mirrorless camera on top. This cable goes out to USB into your computer, and then so you don't overheat your computer. My pick from a couple weeks back was the Blind Spot, where it allows you to use large batteries into a dummy battery. So either get that or a Tether Tools dummy battery or some sort of dummy battery, because some cameras will get hot, you know, discharging the battery for a long time, unless you have a double handle battery grip. You know, for a show that's long like this, where you have long-winded people like Jeff, your camera will overheat. So, I mean, literally $13 for this, like $3 for that, and $19 if you don't have an extra ball head around. But it makes a great, stable as crap desktop tripod. I have two of them. The other one is a really small, thick tripod by Neewer. I believe they run about $40, but it's a, I can't pick that up because the camera's sitting on it. But it only comes to about 15 inches high, so it's perfect. So you're looking at your people with that sultry glaze. You're not doing the up the neck thing or down the neck thing, which is hard when you have an iMac, right?
Good pick, mate. Even though Doc took it.
No,
I was. I've been using this for how long? That's how I've been doing all of my swanky stuff. I've been using my mirrorless camera for almost 2 years as my camera because webcams are shite. And I keep telling everybody step your game up, but then I understand cam links went to $300 a pop. So, oh, I have a question for you guys. Is it illegal in your country to price gouge? Because I can buy a cam link from the UK for the normal price. But everywhere else, they're like $600-$700 now. Survive. You guys have price gouging rules?
No.
Oh, that's weird. They're just being nice. Okay.
Nobody pays that here. That's the problem.
Tom says he still hasn't got his to work yet.
Yeah, I should mention, so it works with some EOS cameras, like the 5Ds, 1Ds, 50Ds, the Rebels, and at least 3 power shots. So even the like deeper, smaller ones work.
Cool.
Sure. And Tom, try different camera modes and try with the memory card in and out. You do have to do some fiddling. And the other situation is you might have to go through multiple USB cables because some USB cables lie and they're charge only, not charge in data sync.
Mm-hmm. I've had that issue.
Chuck, what have you got for us, mate?
Well, this is sort of a follow-up to a pick we had a few weeks ago. This is a SanDisk SSD external drive, and it was not my pick later, but I picked this up, and I really love it. It's so small, it's so powerful, and it also has the added benefit of being able to withstand a whole lot of abuse. But I don't like to abuse anything, at least not when it comes to SSDs, because they're just too darn expensive. So it also comes with this little adapter. Sorry about that. This little adapter and, of course, the cable. Well, the first thing that's going to happen is you're going to lose these in no time. So my pick today is a case specifically for this little SSD from Caseling. The great thing about this little case is that, of course, it fits it. It fits it very snugly. This flap comes over when you close it and holds the SSD really nice and tight. But also on this side, there's a little pouch for that cable and that adapter. So here, you put everything in here, you throw it in your backpack or your briefcase or whatever you carry, and you can't lose anything. And on top of it, you protect it. And this is only a little less than $10. So, you know, it's insurance for this expensive little device, and I'm happy to pay it because not only does it protect it, but it also keeps it organized. And frankly, it's probably one of the cheapest things I've ever picked on this show. So go forth. Nice. If you have this, you need this.
There's nothing wrong with picking expensive stuff, mate. Nothing wrong with that at all.
Oh, I, Except that, you know, sometimes it's the bank account gets a little low, but this is really affordable protection for something that is expensive.
No, excellent, mate. Lovely pick. Thank you very much. And last but by no means least, I may regret this, Greeny.
Mine's good. It is, I was talking about a racing game, and it's Dirt 4, and it's wonderful if I could get the controller to work. I have got a blue...
On the Mac?
On the Mac, yeah.
Yeah.
I have got a Bluetooth controller. So we've got the 361. Okay, that's old school. I messed up there. But I've also got a Bluetooth one that's modern, and I can't make it work. I'm not entirely sure why. I'll keep on keeping on. And Doc Rock has been very helpful to me, so I know the right one to buy now. So that's good. So it's the one before the Xbox 360, I think. Is that the one you want me to buy?
After.
360 is almost 10 years old or older. Actually, I would think 360s is older than that.
Really?
Yeah, 360s are from like 2004,
2005. Oh, okay. Well, I've got one. not that I can do anything with it. This is like a cost-saving, money-saving tip. For work, I have to subscribe to Creative Suite, which is like £50 a month. And I thought, well, you know, I mean, there's some great applications in there, and they try their best not to be able to let you divide them up. And, you know, I just want whatever, Photoshop, and I want, I was going to say PageMaker then, but I really am going back in time. But if you threaten to leave them, you'll get 2 months free. Okay. So that's worth remembering.
Do you just keep threatening to leave, or?
I've only done it once, and they said, "Well, you know, well, if you stay with us, you'll get 2 months free," which is £100, basically, isn't it?
Yeah.
So, I do need the other software, so it's worth looking at.
One warning of that is if you happen to have stock like me, they won't let you do it. So I have the Creator Suite plus the stock package, which is closer to like $80 a month. And that only works if you don't have the stock package, because if you do, it will eliminate any rollover credits that you've acquired in stock. Right?
That's not quite right, because I had a stock package as well. I cancelled both stock and Creative Suite.
Yes. So did you lose your rollover images?
I made sure I downloaded them before I cancelled.
Okay. The rollover image, not pre-licensed. Rollover means you get 10 a month, and there's definitely months where I didn't do any work, so I have that whole 10. And so right now in the cut, I probably have like 50 images credits that never die. That next month, when I get my next 10, I'll be at 60. So when you quit, you get sent back to zero, and you get your 10 when you start back up. So I would lose that 50 images, and that's a lot of money in stock. It's not worth losing the, yeah.
Well, anyway. I suppose it depends what you need. For me, I had all the stock images I needed, and over here it was, I think, £10 a month for stock images, and I wasn't using them. So I said, no, cancel those. And then I said, well, cancel Creative Suite. And then they gave me 2 months free.
Yeah, they've been doing that since COVID. That's a pretty awesome deal, though.
It is good. Yeah, no, it's excellent. Mm-hmm. Excellent pick, mate. Thank you very much.
Okay.
My cool thing, my mum's coming home hopefully next week, but she's going to have to live downstairs. So she's got to go in the front. And they wanted a new TV for her, because she'll need a TV if she can't get up in the morning before the carers get there to get her out and that kind of thing. So I bought her a little 32-inch, and then my dad was going on about she's going to come in the back room during the day, and like the TV they've got is kind of small, so I said, why don't you get a 40-inch, and then she'll have no problem seeing it. And he said yes. So I bought them a Blaupunkt, 40-inch HD smart TV. It's got smart stuff in it, so it's got Freeview and all that kind of stuff, iPlayer. It's got my Netflix, so I can sign my Netflix into account to it and all that kind of thing, and Prime Video as well. And it was $249.99, which I thought was a really amazing price for what it is. Really, really good. So I've put a link in the chat room. So if you want to know what it is and you want to go and buy it, then you can. Now, if you're thinking, okay, look, I'm driving you and I'm listening to the podcast, how am I going to go? How am I going to know? Then go to britishchatnetwork.com/chat, navigate to the 17th of July, and all of the links for everything that we've put in there you will see in the chat room. Transcription there, including all the stuff that everyone else who's watching enjoy. It's a mirthful event. Totally. Boys, it's been good to be back.
good to see you.
I have missed this, mate. I have missed this. We're gonna do a little bit of jiggery pokery. So next week, we're not having a bash as such. There's just a few people who booked hotels. I don't want to lose their money, so they're going to come and we're going to have a socially distanced barbecue in my back garden, and that'll be the end of it. The following week, so Thursday, we're going to do a little show on the Mac Show before the barbecue and all that kind of stuff, before the curry. So that'll be as normal. And then Patrice is going to pick up with a big show that night as well. Mm-hmm. But then the following week, we're going to make some changes. So the quiz is going to go from Thursday nights to Wednesday nights. So if you want to take part in the BTN quiz, you can. You just got to join in the Slack room, send me an email and include you. If you want to go then and carry on with that, that's great. Thursday night, you remember we used to do the big show on Thursday nights? Well, the big show on a Thursday night is coming back. So the week after, big show will be on a Thursday night. And then on Friday, we'll do the Mac Show at 4, and then the weekend starts after the Mac Show again. So I'm just going to be struggling, I think, for time with everything that's going on to get 2 to 3 shows in a single day. So going to split them up again, and it shouldn't matter, but Patrice is going to still do a few hosting on some of them, so you won't have to miss him for too long, I promise. Right, where can we get a hold of you, Doc?
You can find me all over the internets at DOCROCK, and of course I'm doing everything on the YouTube channels, youtube.com/docrock. I'm doing a lot of teaching about helping folks with the live streaming, because, yeah, we're going to be stuck with this for a while longer. So if you're a small business, whatever, it's a great way to reach out and connect with your people, let them know what's going on.
Yeah.
I think everyone's very into, we've been teaching you for years to use social media, like go on Instagram and do a story and tell people, you know what's better? Pop up a Zoom real quick, or a Skype or a Facebook room or a Google Meet, and like let the two-way conversation happen. And it's so much more rewarding, so much more incredible. And, yeah, so I've been doing a lot of training about how to do that. And, yeah, it's fun. So that's it.
Cheers, man. Thank you. Callum, where can people get you?
Yeah, so you can get hold of us and everything we do at imnmax.com. We're on all the usual socials, at imnmax again. I'm in the Slack room. You can drop us an email at info@imnmax.com if you've got a question. And I'm at O'Hara Callum on Twitter. Any questions, anything you want to know. If you want to know how to make an installer, much like Greeny, happy to help. So.
Brilliant. Thank you, mate.
That's kind of you. I really, really appreciate that. And Gwen, my friend, will really appreciate it too.
Excellent, mate. We'll get it. I'll
see if we can get
it. I can see if I can get it in my sticky mitt before next week, and I'll give it to you when you come. Jeffrey, where will you be?
How about Twitter and Instagram, Jay Gamut, here on Your Awesome Shows, on basically everyone else's show as well. And another update on my podcast, which is getting so close to launching. It will also be available on YouTube, so you'll have the option. You can watch or listen.
Excellent, mate. Thank you very much. Patrice, where would you be?
Well, every week here on the Mac Show and on the Big Show, everything I do on thepatrice.com and on my new podcast, bootyflashback.com.
How many of those you done now? I've lost...
We've We've released 12. Callum is coming. Well, actually, Martin is coming up. That's number 12. I'm still waiting for photos. And then Callum is number 13.
Oh, dear.
Lucky number.
Oh, dear. Lucky Cal. Lucky number.
Oh, nice.
Callum, don't do weak old pizza, mate.
No.
That'll be an episode permanently on repeat.
Have
Greeny on really 14, was. Mate. No, have Greeny on 13 doing the proceeding. Put Callum back to 14 so he doesn't have the other
one. I'm happy to wait, don't worry.
And Chuck, where would you be?
You can find me over at macvoices.com. That's where I talk to a lot of interesting people. And we're now doing a live show on Facebook Tuesday nights at 8 p.m. Eastern.
You're doing a massive panel.
Stop in and check it out.
Yeah, you've got like a massive panel there, mate.
Mm-hmm. The last couple, we've in some cases, we're opening it up to anybody that wants to come. Other cases, we're limiting it. But it's just it's a little bit of an experiment right now. We're trying to find a format that everybody likes, or maybe it'll just be no format and we'll just keep on doing it, but it's always a lot of fun.
Give Greeny the address and run that show, and then you'll limit them from then on.
thank you so much.
I can't follow that, Ewan, so good to have you back.
You should have Greeny on, mate. It would be entertaining if nothing else.
Informative, I think, is the word you're looking for.
Oh, no, that too. Yeah, obviously. Obviously.
Very, very informative.
Yeah.
Just don't eat any pizza kind of couple of days before.
You can see Chuck's mind racing into excuses right now.
Yeah, I'm thinking about what kind of information we would be distributing is what I'm doing, Ewan. I'm not sure that we want to get into the week-old pizza thing.
Yeah, no, but Greeny's already done enough distributing this week. Oh, blimey.
Oh, honestly, mate, it was just ridiculous. It was just non-stop.
Yeah, thank you.
10 times puking in one day.
Was it like the scene from Witches of Eastwick with the cherry stones?
Pretty much, yes. Oh, yes. Oh, well, I'd say worse than that. Actually,
maybe like Mr. Creosote.
But it was, so my big advice is don't leave a pizza over 2 weeks.
Oh, it's 2 weeks. It was only a week earlier on.
2 weeks.
No, it was actually a bit more. It was about like 10 days. And I thought, well, that'd be all right. I'll just make sure I really cook it well in the oven. But it had chicken on it and kebab meat and and the next day, I have never felt so poorly in my life. I thought it was...
You've done this already, mate. You've done this already.
Yeah,
don't
have to talk about it.
Hey, Greeny, could you draw us a picture?
No.
This is a British Tech Network health warning.
I'm scared there's people that are crashing their car down the motorway because they've plastered their own screen with vomit talking about Greeny's experience. And just like, no, don't do that. You can't get...
Ewan, what? Remember the one time Greeny's show was called Greeny's Iris, right?
Yeah.
So there we go. You brought it back.
I don't know how I told you this, guys. So when I started my diet, the nutritionist was telling me, you've got to keep your salt levels up because the type of diet I put you on, your salt level will go down. And I was doing some work up a gantry, and I was harnessed on, so it wasn't too bad at Christmas. And I was got my head between my knees servicing the camera boxes, and I stood up too quickly, and it's like, whoa, grabbed the handrail. It's like, oh, that was pretty stuck. 15 meters in the air, you know, that's 40 feet. It's pretty scary. I rang him up and said, I had this moment where he said, have you been drinking your hot Bovril drinks? I'm like, well, no, because I'm on the road. I can't do that. He went, oh, right, okay. He said, you need these tablets. And he told me these ISS tablets that you get, or SIS tablets that you get off Amazon. Gave me the link. So I went back home and I ordered them. I ordered them on Christmas Day and they arrived on Boxing Day. That's how impressive it was. Really good. So I'm driving along and I think, right, I'm going to have three of these today. So I just popped open the packet, pulled one of the tablets out and chucked it in my mouth. And I hadn't read the instructions or anything, and you're supposed to dissolve them in 500 ml of water.
Oh, no.
All of a sudden, this thing starts effervescing, and I'm started foaming like a rabid dog, and then I started choking on it, so I was spluttering, and then plastered it all over the screen. I had to pull the car over and get out and wipe the screen clean on the inside because I couldn't see where I was going. So, there you go. Read the instructions. Where can people get a hold of you, Greeny? Queen Elizabeth Hospital.
Christianmark.com is my podcast, which is of the finest quality, I think.
Have you done one?
That you'll ever find. And you can follow me on Twitter if you really want to, which is British Mark. Pretty much everything, even like Facebook, which I really don't like being on, but I had to for personal reasons. So, but it would be lovely if you go to iTunes or Spotify. Seem to be making a big comeback, don't they, at the moment?
Okay.
So you can get me on Spotify as well.
Have you signed a big deal with them like Joe Rogan?
Well, loads of people seem to have done, and no, I haven't, but... No, I've always just, I'm quite an old-fashioned chap, really, and the world moves too fast for me.
They came to us and offered me six figures, and I went, no.
Really?
No, I'm lying. Magic Man has said, I'm surprised there's no mention of Apple's tax windfall in the show. No, I just figured that was a bit high on the who gives a shit scale, so I left it out. My name's Ewan Rankin. You can get me at Ewan Rankin. You can follow us on the network at British Tech. We'll be back again next week, Mac Show Friday night. Patrice is going to do the big show at 8 p.m. tonight, and he's going to do it next Friday, and then we're going on Thursday, and I'll be doing that, and it's all happening again. Thank you for your patience, and thanks for those people that have written in. I really appreciate it, and thanks ever so much to all my mates who've gathered around me and really sailed the ship while I wasn't around. It means worlds to me. Have a great weekend. Have a really great weekend. And we'll see you next week. And I'll have loads of fun listening.
Cheers, yeah, everyone. I noticed the general discussions are suddenly very different compared to when Patrice is hosting the show.
What, you mean,
just an observation.
Are you talking about the fact that there's an increase in the level of shit that's talked?
Or the level of shit that Greeny's willing to admit is coming out of him.
No, I've got to say, I've never felt reticent about that.
It does work sometimes, though. I think the energy was up there, and I like that. I mean, we can get it all a bit miserable about Apple and stuff like that.
Yeah, but you've had no problem getting things up this week, have you?
Oh, God. Jesus.
But Agra does wonders.